technical moment.
Okay. What? Should I turn my phone on? It's good? Okay. Parshas Yisro, Rosh Hashanah Tov Shin Ayin Zayin. And we make today for Refuah Shleima for Yosef ben Sara Tzipora, Yecheskel Aaron ben Rachel Esther, and Perel Bas Miriam. And what?
Miriam
Bat
Victoria.
Miriam Bat Victoria.
Yaakov
ben
Miriam.
Yaakov ben Miriam.
Dag and Naomi Bat
Zikiya.
A lot of people say Ruchama Bat Esther.
Ruchama Bat Esther. And Kolch Shar Chayli Yisrael. Everybody should have a Refuah Shleima. And in the course of our learning, Bezus Hashem Yisbarach, especially what we're going to talk about is hopeful things. So we have in our Seder, it says, Vayishma Yisro Kayin Midyan Chaisin Maisha. As Kol Asher also Lakim L'Maishal Yisrael, and Yisro comes, right? We know the famous thing. Do you want to call? Okay, good. Yeah, I'm just starting. But yeah, I'll say it again. Vayishma Yisro, and Yisro hears Kain Midian Chais and Maisha. As Kol Asher also Lakim L'Maishal Yisrael, everything that Hashem did for Maisha and Yisrael, Yisro, the father-in-law of Maisha, hears what's going on. And he's so inspired, he comes, and he doesn't just come, he's Megayer himself, and he becomes a Yid. And the Pasuk tells us, then the Rashi tells us, what did Yisro come for? One of the most famous Rashis, like all first Rashis in the Parasha, are Mashmu Shamu Ba, what inspired him to come? Everybody heard, Shamu Ami Yirgazim Chil Achaz Yosh. And we see that everyone heard. So what brought him to come? So it says, Mochamis Amalek, Kriyas Yamsuf, Muhammad Samalik. He came for Kriyas Yamsuf, and he came for Muhammad Samalik. So in the past years, we've discussed the issue of why these two, why not the Mon, why not the Bear, why not the Makais. Lots of things happen. We specify these two. Today, we're going to say a pshat, why these two, how they work together. How really Muhammad Samalik and Kriyas Yamsuf are really different sides of a puzzle, of the coin, that help us understand what galvanized them to come. So he says like this, the first thing we should know is that the Gemara, where does this come from? Where did Rashi get it from? He didn't make it up, Chas v'Shalom. He got it from a Gemara. The Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Tez Zayin Amin Al says, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Melchamas Amalek Sham. He says, first with Melchamas Amalek. Sherei Nemre B'tzidoi, because it says in the Pasuk, Vayachlif Yoshua Es Amalek, if you, Es Amalefi Charev. If you take a look at the end of the last parsha, you open up, you take a look in your chumash, and you turn back a page or two, and you find that there was the Muhammad of Amalek, and that's what they came for. So it says in Pasuk, hey, Vayav Amalek Yilachim Yisrael Berfidim, and Amalek came, Vayimayim Remayshal Yoshua, Bechar Lono Anoshim Tzei Yilachim Ba'amalek, Macher Anoichi Nitzav Al Reish HaGiva, Matel Kim Biyadi. So we see very clearly, it's easy. It's easy to figure out because the way it works, the parsha ends with Muhammad Amalek, and we start this parsha, and Yisro listens. So it's easy to figure out that Yisro listened because he heard about Muhammad Amalek because that was just came right before he came. So that's very nice. That's one pshat. Rebbe Eliezer Aimer Kriyas Yamsuf Shama. He what got him galvanized? Kriyas Yamsuf. And what pasuk does he bring? So what would I say if I want to bring the word Yishma, I want to say, to take the word Shama, and I want to make sort of a Gzeira Shav and say that he heard something, right? So what does the Pasuk say? I would say the Pasuk, Shamu Ami Yirgazim. That he, it's Vayishma Yisro, it says here. And in the Shira, it says, Shamu Ami Yirgazim, the nations heard and they trembled. So then I would say, therefore, he see that he came for Kriyas Yamsuf, he came because of Kriyas Yamsuf. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Vayhi Kishmaya Kol Malchi Amayri. The Gemara brings them, which says, when all the Malchi Amayri heard a Pasuk in Yeshua, Perikei Pasuk Aleph. It doesn't make any sense, right? Because if you have a Pasuk, why are you bringing it from over there? It says, Vaf Rachav Amar L'Shluchi Yeshua, and Rachav also said that, Ki Shamanu Es Asher Hayvish Hashem Es Mei Yamsuf. We all heard how Hashem dried up the Mei Yamsuf Mibnechem, Seichs Mitzrayim V'Niyat Mitzrayim. Pasuk in Yeshua Beis Zayin. So instead of taking the pasuk that would seem to be obvious, so we have two questions to ask. Why Kriyas Yamsuf? What was there about Kriyas Yamsuf that made him come specifically? What was there that galvanized him? And two, why did Rabbi Eliezer pick a pasuk that is out in Yeshua when he had a pasuk which was right there to tell us this proof? So see, he brings from Glinsky, he brings in the Sefer, he says a beautiful thing over here. First he brings from Yisrael Salanter, and then we'll go deeper. Take a pshat, then we'll go deep. Yisrael Salanter says like this, we know throughout the Torah, throughout the Gemara, there's always a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And they never agree on anything. Come on, there's a few places where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel don't agree on things. They have a different view of it. But there's an underlying theme. If you start going deeper into what the different Amoraim and Tanoim say, they always have a theme on why they said it. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that Beis Hillel, who was the majority, said you should go after the kamus of the thing. You go after when it's a lot. And Beis Shammai, who was sharper, he always said you went after the echus of the thing. You go after the qualities. You know, the old machlokes is quality against quantity, right? Which is more important. You go to the quality, you go with the quantity.
Quality.
Quality versus quantity, right? But you need, I mean, the truth is ultimately you need both, right? If you have a good product and it's a very good product but doesn't sell, you're going nowhere. And if you have a product which is not a good product, you sell a lot of them, you're not going to be selling it for much longer. What?
Fast nickels are slow dollars.
There you go. So he says, this is a shot over here. If Yeshua said was from Beis Hillel. So Yeshua said we go by quantity. Milchamas HaMolech came at the end of a long string of miracles that went all the way back to the Makkos. So Rabbi Yeshua, who held like Beis Hillel, says we go by quantity, says we go by all the many things, and last one's Milchamas HaMolech. That's what galvanized him. He looked at all these tremendous miracles. So when it says Milchamas HaMolech, it doesn't mean just Milchamas HaMolech. It really means all the miracles that came culminating in Milchamas HaMolech. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer was from Beis Shammai, said no, the most important, the most profound, the deepest, the one that had the most in it was Kriyas Yamsuf. We learned in the Haggadah how many makas were there in Kriyas Yamsuf? 250, right? Some say 200, 250, right?
The highest is
250. He says 250, it means Kriyas Yamsuf was the most intense. So he says that's why we do it. So therefore he says we do according to Kriyas Yamsuf. And he says that's the machlokes between the two. But then you have to ask the question that who do we pasken like all the time? Beis Hillel. So why did Rashi bring from Beis Shammai? Why did Rashi even mention Beis Shammai? He should have just said Milchamas HaMolech, because that's what Beis Hillel says. So he says the pshat is that you need both. You need Milchamas HaMolech and you need Kriyas Yamsuf. Both of them came together. He says, what did he see? Rabbi Yeshua was right. He saw Milchamas HaMolech. He said, but Milchamas HaMolech would not have galvanized and become a Yid. He might have come, but he says, but you know, you could stay a non-Jew, and you can get Gan Eden also. You become Chassidim, Masoilim, you do the Shev Mitzvah Ninoyach, everything will be beautiful. You'll listen to the Torah, you'll read the Bible, you'll do everything. But what did he have to come be Megayer for? He could have stayed who he was from Milchamas HaMolech. What galvanized him to come? And he says that was, we see that in Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf taught him a lesson that's not enough for me to just stand in the back and watch. I got to be part of it. I have to be part of it. What was that lesson? Where did it come out of Kriyas Yamsuf? So listen to this very geschmack. What did the pasuk say that we quoted before? And we'll quote the whole pasuk now. It's in Shmais Tezvav, Yudal, and through Tezayin. Shomu Ami Yergazim. The nations heard and they trembled. Chil Achaz, a seizure, grabbed onto Yashay Plushes. Oznev Haluf Adam, the Luf Adam became confused, they became into a Bahala. Ele Mayav, the strong ones of Mayav Yaycha Zemrod, they had fear, terror seized them. Namaygu Kal Yashay Knan, all of them melted. Tipal Aleimi Mosav Afachad, they all ended up with Ema and Pachad. We always like to say, he says here, Ema means from far and Pachad is from close. We always explain this. The difference between Ema and Pachad by telling of my experience in Kiryat Sanz when I was a Bacher in the Mir Yeshiva. I used to stay by my brother in Kiryat Sanz. And at that time, if you remember, the biblical zoo was on top of Kiryat Sanz. It was up on top of the hill. Oh, it was by the Beis Yaakov.
Two flights of stairs.
Yeah, right. You used to go two flights and you get to the biblical zoo.
To
so I remember I used to come home at night from the Yeshiva off the number 3 bus. And it was very dark. There was like one single light there. And I remember coming off the bus one night and I heard the lion roar. And it was so dark, I did not know if the lion was roaring in its cage or the lion was on its way down to meet me. And I said, the difference between Ema and Pachad, Ema is when you know the lion's in, upstairs. And you feel fear, but you know, you're not too worried. Pachad, when the lion's standing in front of you. That's a Pachad. So he says, so they have Emas and Pachad. So we see that, you see all of that happened. They're all scared. The whole world is trembling. They're in fear. They're in a Bahala, right? So what happens? What would you think they would say? The last thing they want to do is start up with the Jewish people. The Jewish people are having Nisim happening. They're in the middle of all these great Nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf. So what happened instead? Amalek comes. Amalek, says the Targum Yonis, was 1,600 miles away, which is a lot. I mean, I'm not sure how that works, 1,600 miles. It probably puts them somewhere out in Iran. I don't know where Amalek was. I mean, Amalek was there, but okay, the, it says 1,600 miles. Right. Amalek Bob, Mimerecha, so he's saying to himself, what was Amalek thinking? He says, number one, where did he think he could defeat the Jews? In the middle of having Nisim happen to them, the Ribbono Shel Olam on their side. So what was he thinking? And not only that, as we all know, there's a famous Medrash. The Medrash says, Medrash Tanchuma, Moshalam Bati, it's like a bath. Rosachas, a boiling hot bath, a steam bath in a bathhouse. Shein kol briya yechol leirid l'segah, nobody can go in there. They turn the water up too high. You go in there and you get to, you become cooked. Yeah, Ba ben Blial echad. So ben Blial comes, and listen to the word ben Blial. It doesn't say Ba Rosh echad or Ba ben Blial. We'll see the tie into the Teretz. Kofetz v'yard l'segah, he jumps into it. Avi shenichve, even though he himself is burned to a crisp and he dies, other people jump in afterwards because it got a little bit cooler. So he says, Yisrael's thinking to himself, I got two problems here. What was Amalek thinking? Why would Amalek be willing to go and kill itself at this time? And he says, and the second thing, he was thinking to himself, why would everybody follow in? That means once he does, they're going to do it. But they saw what happened. They watched him as he jumped into the thing and he burned up and he you know, what were they thinking? What was going on here? So Tamiya Shnei Kofet Nishlak, he got burned. So Yimyala Meshugav Yikbots Minagag, if Meshugner jumps off the roof, I got to jump off the roof too? So what was going on? And this is what galvanized Yisrael. And the answer is one word. The word Blial. Because the word Blial, we translate as an empty person, comes from the word Bli'oil, without a yoke. He says, you know why this person is like that? Because they have nothing constraining him. He has no yoke. He has no morals. He has no mitzvahs. He has nothing. So he can act like that. But a person, therefore, he can do whatever ra he wants. But the Torah gave us a way to be magbal ourselves. The Torah is giving us the mitzvahs. The Torah is giving us the way that we can train ourselves and to be only good. If you take a look at Gedolei Torah, look at Steinman, Shavrafu Shleim, look at Chaim Kanievsky, look at all the great people, the great rebbes, the Torah infuses who they are. So Yisro said to himself, all of those people, they listened, but you see, it didn't affect them. Just becoming afraid from Kriyas Yamsa didn't change them. The only way I can change myself is by going and becoming Yid, because then I will do the mitzvahs that will make a difference. Because you see that all the pachad and all the ema does not make a difference. It doesn't work. It lasts for a few minutes. So that's what he says. What did he come for? He came because of Muhammad Samalik. But Muhammad Samalik by itself would mean he would come, but he wouldn't be necessarily become a Yid. Kriyas Yamsu showed him you have to become a Yid. That just to listen, all the fear and all these things don't mean anything. There's a famous Reb Chaim Shmulevitz that says that when Ra Shifchal Yom Asher Lo Yecheskel Babuzim Yomav, when the Shifcha went into the sea, she saw more than the Navi Yecheskel. So the Shail is, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, but the Gemara calls her a Shifcha, still calls her a maidservant, should call her a great person, Tzadekis, says Ziz Gebliben HaShifcha. Because she saw it, but she stayed who she was. She did not, you're right, she saw more than Yecheskel, but she didn't become more than Yecheskel. To become more, you have to make a difference. So Yisro came, and he saw that if you go into the Blutta, you go there, it will make it, you can change him. So he says, the lesson to us is profound. He says, we all know, it says, Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara, Kadosh Baruch Hu Aimer L'Sar Shel Gehenim. when the person speaks Lashon Hara, Hashem says, Sar Shal Gehenim, Ani Alav L'mala, V'atam Lam L'mata. You get him from the bottom, give him punishment, I'll punish him from the top. We all know that says anybody's Vatal Lashon, Vatal Torah, he doesn't learn Torah. He says, we feed him hot coals. Everybody knows that if you make a bracha without kavana, or you do it too fast, we know all of this. We can all quote it in our sleep, right? If you wake us in the middle of the night, and you say, should you not, or should you talk Lashon Hara? You'll say, what are you talking? Of course you shouldn't talk Lashon Hara. So why do we talk Lashon Hara? See, the answer is, because we're not necessarily doing the things that we have to do not to. We're knowing it, we're talking about it, we're seeing how hard it is. And that's what the Chazon Ish says. The Chazon Ish says that ultimately, the Dikta Kadin is what keeps us. The Shmir of the Shulchan Aruch, those are the ways that we can keep ourselves in track. By learning the halachas and doing the halachas and keeping the halachas, that's the way we keep ourselves. And that's what Yisro's lesson was. Yisro's lesson was, it's not enough to think about it, it's not enough to hear about it, it's not enough to learn about it, you have to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's a yid. So we have to learn that also. It's not enough, we have to do it. We have to train ourselves and do the mitzvahs. And the way to do that is through the Shulchan Aruch. We're talking about Kriyas Yamsuf, and we didn't have a shir last week because of the inclement weather. So I'd like to say something that he says also in bringing also from a different place and perhaps a separate machshava. So we know it says, we said in the Oz Yashir, he tells the story, said that when he went, he tells over very poignantly that before the Six-Day War, he calls it, there was a tekufa called tekufas ha'amtana. There was a waiting period. And he says it was an extremely scary time of the year. It was very scary. I remember it myself. I was a bachur in yeshiva. I remember we went out during the Six-Day War. We went out with sheets. And we had four guys. We hold the corner of the sheets. And people were just throwing money. But before the war happened, I mean, if you take a look at the political situation, it looked very bad. The entire world was against Israel. All the countries, the United States was refusing to give them any ammunition at that time, any arms. They closed off the Strait of Hormuz over there. You know, everyone, they're yelling that we're going to throw the Jews into the ocean. In those days, you get it. Now, I guess you can't get away with saying it. You do want to do it, but in those days, they said it. It says, in Shteret Rothschild, my Zayda used to live, my brother lived there also. I had the shul there. They were preparing, body bags because they thought they're going to have 30,000 people, Rahman al-Salam, killed. It was, and then when the news came in, so the original news was from the Arabs that everyone said that we won and we're on our way to Tel Aviv and all this, and everybody, we had no idea what was going on. I remember we were sitting in the dormitory, these things you stay up a whole night because it was such a pachad, it was a mamash pachad in the whole world. And then came the wonderful news. Then they came the real news, what really happened after all the, what they now call alternate truth, which they used to call lies, So there was such simcha. He said they got the Kaisel and they got the Kever Rochel, and it was just, he said, they went down to the Kaisel. I mean, it was amazing. So I remember the chief rabbi blew the shofar. I mean, it was amazing things. The people were so excited. Everything was wonderful. And then it got back that the Satmar Rebbe was talking about it, and he was yelling and screaming that be careful from Kaichiv Aitzim Yadi, we're in a sakana now. Don't just focus on the wondrous, how great things are. Be careful that you shouldn't come to think that you did it. Remember, it was from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I heard a pshat from the Night of Yehuda. On Shabbos, we say, after Musaf, we say Ein Kelokeinu, and then we say Pita Maktairis. Do you know why we do that? Why do we say Pita? What does Pita Maktairis got to do with Ein Kelokeinu? So they say, because Pita Maktairis, it says that somebody who gives the Maktairis gets rich. But when you get rich, you have a big sakana. You're going to get rich. You think, I made myself rich, right? I deserve to be rich, obviously. So therefore we say Ein Kelokeinu to remember it's the Ribbono Shel Olam that gave it to us. Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kadanein, right? Ein Kemalkeinu, we say that because we remember it's from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Pita Maktairis, I got rich, now I remember where the rich coming from. See, the Satmar Rebbe used to scream about that. Be careful. Klal Yisrael Sakana is very unpopular, by the way. Nobody wants to hear it. But he said it. So they met a yid. What?
He didn't care.
That's right. That was his greatness. The Satmar Rebbe was so great that even if he was on the other side of everything, they still respected him for Kerit. He played a tremendous role.
Not the one from before.
This is Rabbi Yaglish.
No, I mean, which Satmar? You're talking about the Satmar Rebbe
now? No, the Satmar Rebbe was at the time. In 1967, the Satmar Rebbe was the famous Rabbi Yaglish. Yes.
So that was my time.
Yeah, right. That was
a very tiny.
It was a big.
My husband was a Satmar Rebbe.
There's no question that he was a great man, but that's what he was saying. So listen to this. It's a beautiful story. So he met somebody who was by the Satmar Rebbe during this tekufa. And he said, so what did Satmar Rebbe say? So he said, he spoke Shalosh Shodes, and for 40 minutes he cried. And he cried and he said, what about all the Almud? Everyone's so happy. They're focused on the joy. We can't forget the Almanas and the Asaimim and all the Karbanas, all the people who got killed, he said the young boys who are sitting in hospitals now without a leg, without an arm, the ones who got, we can never forget that. And that's what he did. He remembered at that time. He remembered, and all he did was he cried for them. He says, that's a Gadol B'Yisrael. Even at the time of our greatest joy, we always have to remember that Nebuch, there are people who may suffer, and we have to remember them as well. And he said afterwards, he went to Rishach, and he was going, after he heard the story, he went to Rishach, and he walks in by Rishach, and he says, and this is what Rishach told him, Rabbi Yaakov, Kulim Kaismech, everyone's happy. Al-Yesh Kai Harbi Al-Manas V'Yisayim, he said the exact same thing that the Satmar Rebbe said. This is Rav Galinsky. Says he went to Rav Shach after, and Rav Shach on his own said the same thing. Nebuch, look who got hurt. Look who got shliced. Look who Nebuch, who we should always remember that. I remember we've said over here in the Shir about Rav Chaim Shmulevitz that I saw an interview with his daughter, Rebbetzin Mizrahi, and they said they were afraid to tell him when an Israeli soldier was killed because he would start crying. And he would say, oi, the soldier, and he'd start crying. And he'd calm himself down and he'd say, oi, the mama, his mother, and he'd start crying. And then he would stop and they'd say, his father. And they would say, his sister, his brother, the children. He mamish couldn't contain himself because he felt the tsar, not just of the person who something bad happened to, but the tsar of all the people around that person, the terrible tsar that happened to that person and everything at him. On a happier note, though, on the other side, Gedolei Torah able to see the other thing as well. I saw a story that after the war, there was a Beis Yisaimis, and there was girls there in Nebuch. Everyone lost something. They lost parents. They lost families. They were very tzibrachin, and they were mamish. You know, they didn't have social workers then, but they all needed counseling very badly. They were in terrible shape. And then one of them became a kala. So all the girls got up, and they all started to dance and sing. There was such a simcha. So one of the neighbors heard it, and he heard women singing. And he went running to the Chazaynish. You have to stop it. There's Kalisha. So the Chazaynish goes, they're able to sing already? Baruch Hashem, that they've gotten it past them enough that they're able to even see some joy in their life. That's the way a Gadol looks at it. He doesn't look at it the way everyone else looks at it. He can see in a time where there's terrible sadness, he can see simcha. In a time when there's simcha, he can also focus on those who didn't have it so good. So he says, so what's this got to do with Oz Yashir, you're asking? So he said, he asked Rav Shus, Rav Galinsky said to Rav Shach, I'd like to tell you something. I want to say pshat, that maybe we'll explain, with this we can explain something to Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir Maisha. So Maisha sings, and there's a fame, the Gemara all asks, what does Yashir to say? Oz Shor Maisha, Maisha sings. What does it mean, and Maisha is going to sing? So Rashi says, "Kisharah hanes ala belibo sheyashir shira," because it means he said, "I should sing." Rashi learns it. I feel good. I had a hergish. I'm going to sing. A person is very happy. I remember I was once on the bus, and that something good had happened to me that day, and I must have been humming to myself or something. And somebody sees me, and he goes, "Boy, you must have a good day today. Like you could tell, you know, you're besimcha." So he said that he felt besimcha. He's saying, but there's a medrash, an amazing medrash. The Medrash says, how do we know there's Tchias HaMesim? How do we know that in the future the dead are going to come alive? Says the Gemara, because it says Oz Yashir. Maisha will sing. He's not alive anymore. It means there'll be Tchias HaMesim and he'll be able to sing again. So how do these two things come out? What does that mean? Where did these two pshatim come together? So he says, beautiful. It says Chamushim, this is from the Belzer Rebbe. He says it from the Belzer Rebbe when he came after the war. He says Chamushim Olu Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. We know that Bnei Yisrael came out, only 1 out of 5 came out. That means 80% were nifter. So that means everybody probably lost somebody in their family. This was like after the war. The Nebuch, 80%, that means there were, everybody must have had somebody that they were in Avelis for. So how were they able to sing? How were they able to sing? How could they get that? The answer is, says the Gemara, because they knew this Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTorah. They were able to sing because they knew that even if now that person is not alive, but the time will come when they'll be alive. Mm-hmm. And therefore the two go together. Oz Yasher Maisha. How could Maisha sing? They went through such a tragedy. All these people went through a tragedy of losing family members. So how were they able to sing? They were able to sing because they knew that Amir Tzashem is going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTorah. So said the Belzer Rebbe, the same thing. There's many Karbonis, there are many Kedoshim, but you should know Tchiyas HaMeisim is coming. Mashiach will be here. And then we'll be able to see all of those people once again. So he said, that's the Nechama. So the two go together. Oz Yasher Maisha. Maisha sang, but how can he sing after such things happen? The answer is because there's going to be a Tchiyas HaMeisim and that there will be a future as well. So it's a beautiful understanding of the entire Pshat, how we understand the Tchiyas HaMeisim min HaTorah, and at the same time that there will be a future, there will be a comfort that we will all have as we go forward in the Tchiyas HaMeisim. Okay, let's move on to another pasuk. And we have a nice thing from Kamenetsky. So we said, Vayishma Yisr Kayin Midyan Chaisin Maisha is Kol Asher Osel Akim LaMaisha Yisrael. And Yisro, here is the Kayin Midyan, the Chaisin Maisha, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for the Klal Yisrael. And he came, and we said before that he came because he heard Melchamas Amalek and Kriyas Yamsuf. Melchamas Amalek was the one thing right previous parashas of galvanized him to come. But why did he become a Yid? Because we said that he heard Kriyas Yamsuf, that even though Shamu Amu Yergazim, Chilachas Yoshe Ploshas, Oznif Halufi Adam, they were all terrified, but it didn't make a Roshim. Because soon after, Amalek came, and Amalek fought with them. So he saw that it doesn't work. So what's the difference? It says, so we said, it says that a Blial went into the Ambatya, went into the hot water, and cooled it off for everybody else. Bli oil. He saw the reason is because there was no Torah. If there's a Torah, if you keep the Torah, that will keep you in line. So therefore Yisro said, I not only have to hear, I have to come, and I have to mugar. So what does it say next pasuk? It says, Vayiga Yisro Chaisin Maisha. By the way, it tells us that in the previous parasha, it says, in Shmais, it says, Vayomer Maisha El Chaisnai. Maisha was inspired that he was the son-in-law of such a famous person, head of Midian, the biggest cleric in Midian. So he was inspired. Now it says, Vayika Yisro Chaisin Maisha. Now it went backward. Now Yisro became inspired. He was happy that he was the father-in-law of Maisha. That's the Yichus. Sometimes the Rosh Yeshiva, you ever see, you go into Yeshiva, sometimes the Rosh Yeshiva's father is a Gadol Hador, sometimes the Rosh Yeshiva's father is a regular person. So if he's a Gadol Hador, so the son is Mispoyer and the father. If he's a regular person, the father is Mispoyer and the son. So it says, as Tzipari Eishas Maishach HaShiluchel, Veishnevana Asher Shemo Echad Gershoim, the first one's name was Gershoim, he Amar Ger HaYisi Beretz Nachriya, I was a Ger in a strange place, Veshema Echad Eliezer, and the second was Eliezer, Kilakei Avi Bezri, Veatzileni Micher Paro. So the Mefarshim all have the famous question, and you should all ask me, you should have jumped on me right away, you should have said, wait a second. What happened first? Was he in Mitzrayim first? Or was he in Midian first? So what does it say? Shnei b'nei asher shemo echad Gershom, ki omer Gera Yisi Beretz Nachriya. That means he said, I named my first son that he had in Midian after my situation in Midian because I'm a Gera over here. I'm a stranger. And the Shema Eliezer, Kelekei Avi Bezri, V'yatzlein Micher Paro. So Paro, why do we switch the chronological order? By the way, I'd just like to say a second thing, and this is something that's a pedagogical thought. It should have said, V'shem Hasheni Eliezer. Why does it say, Shnei B'nei Asher, V'shem Ha'echad, V'shem Ha'echad? Right? The answer is that when it comes to children, you should never put one in front of the other. Every child is a Shem HaEchad. Every child has its own name. Every child has its own cubby, its own space. Every child has to be given a place. So we tell us. So
even
he was
treatment.
Even treatment. And so therefore, it goes by grandchildren too, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it goes by great grandchildren also.
Hashem
ha'echad Eliezer, Hashem ha'echad Gershom, Hashem ha'echad. It always says the two of them together. So he says a vort, Rav Kamenetsky brings from Rav Rogoff. Mordechai Rogoff was one of the greatest tzaddikim of, he was in Chicago. I had the schus of being by his levaya. I was 1 year in yeshiva. Just to tell a story, we're talking about Rogoff, I'll tell a story that during the, in Chicago, I think it was in 64, 65, one of those years, I forgot which year, there were riots in Chicago. And they had put up barricades and they weren't letting people pass the barricades, the rioters. And Reb Rogoff came along, and Reb Rogoff, you see the picture, he looks like a Mamashah, tzaddik, even in the picture. And he walks along, and he's walking down the street, and he was very fartracht. He probably didn't see anything because he was always thinking and learning. And when they saw him, they took the barricade and they pushed aside and said, "Let the holy rabbi pass." That's how they felt. Yeah. They could see, they could shpar his kedusha. So he tells a story over here. He tells, as always, he has these interesting stories, which I think we've once told over. We'll take a different nekuda. He says that there was a man by the name of Barclay, Albin Barclay, a senator from Kentucky. And he was running for the Senate against somebody by the name of Chandler. So this person, Barclay goes ahead, and he meets a constituent of his that he had helped out a lot. And he goes over and he says, "I hope you're going to vote for me." So he tells him, "Recall how I helped get an access road built to your farm. I visited you in a military hospital in France when you were wounded in the First War. I assisted you in securing your veterans' benefits. I arranged a loan for the Farm Credit Association, and I got you a disaster loan when the flood destroyed your house." So the person says, "Well, I don't know." So he says, "How could you think of voting for the other guy? I mean, look what I did for you. My mom saved your life 10 times." So he looks at him, he says, "I remember all of that." He says, "What have you done for me lately?" So he says that people, you know, and you've heard this expression, that people are very funny. As a rule, we live in the present and we forget the past so easily. And it's very past, and the present is what makes the reishim on us. The present is where we live. So he says that's the pshat, that's what Rogoff said, that Moshe Rabbeinu, it's true. Hashem saved him, cher par. Remember, his neck was on the chopping block, literally. And Hashem saved him by making his neck turn into iron. But when emotionally he was in Midian now. That was a memory. Emotionally, he was today, and therefore he remembered what came now, and therefore he named his first son under his current matzav because that's where he felt emotionally. But he did not forget what Hashem had done for him. He did not forget, and this is an important lesson I think to all of us. Because we live in the present, we very, very easily forget the past, and we forget the taivas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. You know, if somebody ever stepped off a curb and a car almost ran them over, and they jump back, and they say, Baruch Hashem. Or even worse, they were hit, and they survived, and they bench Gaimu. And they said that, come back in a year from now, gone, forgot about it. Because we live so much in the present. You know, I don't know if you remember the story. I think the story is with you. I was once saying a shir, and I think you asked me a question in the middle of shir, and you said, I remember it was in 84 William Street,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. Very long time. But you see how you remember Busha. And somebody in the shir, the back shir pipe says, "You know, remember last year you said a very nice pshat on that shir. Could you, on that puzzle, could you say it again?" And I remember freezing.
Because I usually listen.
Right. Yeah.
Sounds like
I don't remember. Then I remember. Baruch Hashem, Hashem granted me. I remembered it. But we live in today. Right? If you've ever taken a test and you pass the test and the next day somebody asks you some of the questions, they're gone. You don't remember them. That is a big sakana for us. When it comes to Hakaras HaTov, both for the Ribbono and both for people, our biggest sakana is that we only live in the present and we forget the past so easily. So Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us in these two psukim, amazing lessons. He's teaching us, one is how we have to treat our children the same. And he's teaching us that even as we live in the present, and Moshe Rabbeinu remembers the Pesach Ador. So if he paskened, I have to name this one a Gershom because I'm living in a strange land, because that's the bigger Rosh Hashanah now, means that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pasken according to where you are now. But at the same time, Moshe Rabbeinu paskens, never forget the past. Never forget what came before. Because otherwise, as they say, you will live to regret it. Right? And those who do not remember the lessons of the past will repeat them. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us. At the same time, we have a curse of type to Ribbono Shel Olam. We have a curse of type to each other. But that's for now. But never forget the curse of type we have. And the Ribbono Shel Olam would help that we should have good memories. Sometimes you have to have bad memories. When somebody does bad to you, forget it. Use your bad memory. But when somebody does good stuff to you, for you, remember it. Always remember it. Always be marked type. Ad Kedei Kach that he named his child over something that happened many years before. He named his child, but that was the second child. So both are true. You have to be there for the present, but you also have to be there for the past.
How come we don't give the name Gershon? We always give Gershon. I'm always wondering about
Gershon. Gershon was the son of Levi.
Yeah.
I mean, why do we name after the son of Levi and not after the son of...
Yeah, we use Elazar.
But when you say Gershon,
Gershon was Rabbeinu
Gershon.
Yeah.
He was a Rabbeinu Gershon.
Gershon. He was Gershon. Yeah. There is something in my shoulder. I don't know. They call him Gershon. I don't know.